Hello. You're listening to Voice of Vashon, KVSH. KVSH? Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
101.9 FM LP on your radio dial. This is Stirring the Pot, and I am Linda Nygaard in the studio today, live with...
Tom Conway,
Mr. Important of the Village.
Oh, totally.
Yes. And Mr. Truman O'Brien is here at the board, making sure that we don't say the wrong words and that what we do say can be heard out there.
No guarantees there.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Hi, Truman.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm playing with our new board.
You know, that's a really exciting thing for you listeners to know. We're sitting here admiring this brand new board we got for the engineers who make all this magic happen and make these sounds go across the airwaves.
And just for clarification, it's not a 2x4.
No, it's not a 2x4.
No, that's what we used to hit the end of the head to make you learn how
so
to
what,
do it.
So what is like the formal name of this?
A Wheatstone L12.
A Wheatstone?
Wheatstone L12.
Do we call this a soundboard? What do we call
a mixer?
I call it a console.
A console. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's beautiful. It's got all kinds of fancy lights and knobs, and you push this button and that happens. And we also have...
It smells like a new car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also have television capabilities now. I don't know if it's up and running yet, but
it
will be soon.
It will be in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And we might find ourselves on television.
Hell no.
Well, not Tom.
It's okay, Tom. It's only from the waist up. So you can wear your shorts.
Okay,
and,
good.
You know, you'll be cool.
Yeah, but, you know, Tom will have to decide which hat he's going to wear.
That's true.
Because that's always a dilemma.
That's true. I'll have to tape my face or something.
Put a bag over your head.
Put a bag over
with a hat on top of it.
Wear a clown mask.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have a really big agenda today, and it's kind of my favorite time of year. I'll say that again in October.
Really big show.
But we are going to talk about barbecue and picnics and Vashon.
Eating outside.
Special places. I haven't... I had my very first... outing, dinner invitation the other night to some friend's house to have barbecue with them. And, you know, it was over Memorial Day weekend, and it was beautiful. It was before the rain started, and we sat on their balcony deck porch overlooking the water, and we had bratwurst and corn on the cob and baked beans and a good salad. And it was lovely. It was really lovely. And it's the first time. And
did
so,
you eat outside, you say?
Yes. Nice. And it was so nice to sit outside, look at the water, see the light change, eat the meal, have the conversation. And I was reminded how wonderful it is and how fortunate we are that we live in such a beautiful place that we really should take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And people don't do it very often.
And miraculously, what I always love is when people are visiting and you're eating outside, for the most part, they kind of realize something's different. And you go, like, there's no bugs.
There's no bugs. Try barbecue in Minnesota in July.
Oh, no. Oh, hey, no way.
Oh, black flies. Those big...
carry you off.
Oh, they do. They do. So... what's going on in your world, Tom?
Well, I'm trying to get my blood sugar regulated because I just had, I think, about half a apple pie. I can't stop.
Well, that's what happens when somebody gifts you a pie.
It is.
And I think that was really nice to gift a pie to the pie maker.
Well,
that's
it really was
a big treasure, isn't it?
It was my friend Gates Johnson, who's she's known for pies.
Oh, okay.
And
I understand she bakes a lot.
She does. In fact, that's what was so great, at least for me, is that when I was visiting her, I said, oh my God, you have pies in the freezer. And she said, of course, don't you? And I go, no, I don't. I like you having them in the freezer.
I like the idea.
And she said, well, when you leave, I'll give you one. I said, okay. And so it was great. It was like one of those choices that were all good. Like, well, do you want a cherry pie? Or do you want an apple pie? Or I got a pumpkin over here. And I'm going, no, let's go with a classic apple.
That classic apple.
And so last night it was either get in the car and go get dinner. Mm-hmm. Or
eat
bake the pie was already baked, so I just had
it was
So I took it out of the freezer and put it in the oven at my range isn't working right now correctly. The number 4, it's digital, so 4 doesn't work, so I'm at 399. So I had to bake it at 399.
Did it make a difference, Tom?
I don't think so.
No, it probably didn't.
And but it took about 45 minutes, 45, 50 minutes. And mm-hmm. oh my gosh, Gates, if you're listening, it was darn fine.
You know, isn't that a funny thing about ovens? The temperatures, you know, and yeah. I've learned with my oven, I have to regulate it. I really have to look at it. And someone years and years ago said to find out really what temperature your oven is, you should get those little things and put them, the little temperature, what do you call them?
A thermometer.
Thermometer. Thank you. And put them in all four corners of your oven.
Yeah.
And then read them and you'll find out where it's hotter and where it's cooler.
And another good way to do it, if you don't like technical things like thermometers, you can get, but then again, you have to really, it's best if you use white bread. Buy like Wonder Bread and you put it on a baking tray or a cookie sheet and you put one after the other. So you have a big, you know, the cookie sheet is full of, mm-hmm. of bread. That's side by side. And then when you like put it on 350, you can see the patterns on the bread as to where the hot spots are.
Yeah.
It works really well. It's a really good thing. Like in my oven, I know I did that at one time. Mm-hmm. And then you can use the bread for croutons. Okay.
Later. Yeah. See, there's no waste.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No waste.
Well, my oven isn't temperature
savvy.
It's not. It doesn't. It. So I always set it 5 degrees more than the recipe calls uh-huh. for, which can be a little touchy when you're baking. It doesn't make much difference if you're doing a braise or something mm-hmm. like that in there. But trying to bake and guess, because I don't have one of those things.
those degree checkers.
Those little round things with all the numbers on them. But, oh gosh, that's interesting. You know, my mom used to bake pies like a mad woman. Uh-huh. And we had in the basement was the furnace room, and there were two big freezers in there, one big chest freezer and one big stand-up. And that stand-up freezer was full of nothing but baked goods. So there was always something there.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say deer and venison.
No.
Okay.
No, we occasionally would have that, but it was never in the freezer. Mm. I mean, it was, I guess maybe you left packages it on
the
of
hood
it.
You left it on the hood of the car.
We just whacked off a leg and gnawed on it.
Hey, Ma, go get me a hind quarter of Bambi.
Yeah. I really hated deer season. You know, my brother.
It's a real thing in Montana.
Well, and it's a thing here, too.
Yeah, it's a thing in Pennsylvania when I was junior high. We lived in Pennsylvania. We got off the first day of deer season. You got off of school.
Really?
Yeah, in the central valleys of like Lancaster County and Harrisburg, Susquehanna, and Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
That's such a fun word, Susquehanna.
Susquehanna.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. is.
Who's your mama, Susquehanna?
So, one thing that I wanted to say is, we're going to have a new Facebook page pretty soon. You know, for 2 years, we've been struggling with this Facebook page because it thinks we're a business.
It's not us.
It isn't. It's Facebook. It's Facebook.
They hate us.
It's difficult to post things on there. And, you know, regular people like who are not admins can't post. You can't make a comment on there.
And plus, it won't allow us to properly administer the admin capability.
Right. Yeah. I can't, it won't work. No. And we've tried.
We've
tried everything. And I've even had people over.
We've brought in so-called experts.
Yes, we have. Who say, okay, it's fixed.
We flew them in from
Pittsburgh.
From Apple.
Yeah, that would be the day, wouldn't it? Yeah. That would be fun. Hey, Tim.
We got a big budget.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're pretty excited about that, and that we'll make that announcement probably by the end of the week.
It'll be a nice tandem because whenever we're talking about something, we can actually this time make it happen where it's on a printed readable page.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of our fortune is that Celine seems to know what she's doing.
She does.
And she's setting up a new Facebook page for us.
She can never leave us.
No, it doesn't quite work right now. I've been trying. There are some glitches in it, so she's going to work with that and make it happen. But I just wanted listeners to know that we value your opinion and your questions and mm-hmm. your ideas. And so we'd like to hear from you.
Could I tell you something?
Well, of course.
Something I learned about Facebook. You don't want to put a link in the body of your text.
Right. Know?
You want to put it in the first comment.
In the comments. Why is that? Do you know?
Because there's an algorithm in Facebook.
Yeah.
It wants you to stay on Facebook. It doesn't want you to go somewhere else. So that doesn't work very well. But if in the comments, they don't have control of that.
Well, so, I've been noticing that when people are posting links, they'll say link to, in the comments.
That's
and
right.
I didn't really know why. So even though I didn't know why, I started doing it. Because everybody else did.
I'm not going to talk about that bridge and jumping off of it.
No, not. Yeah.
Everybody else jumped off a bridge.
I know. Isn't that funny? So have you been cooking anything interesting, Tom?
Oh, you know, I was, I'm speaking of freezers because I'll just segue into after the pie. I've been hating to go to the grocery store so
Me
much.
Me too.
And I don't know if it's sort of the elevated grocery prices or it's my sort
it's
of
your antisocial
it's
behavior.
It's my antisocial behavior. Or it's like, I live a mile and a half away.
I know.
I have to get in the car.
And I got to get in the car.
And I have to bring my dog.
Yeah.
And then I have to find her and him. Sorry, Gus. and then get it. Anyway, so what I've been doing is trying to go through. Plus, I've decided that a lot of, like, for me, a freezer just becomes a storage locker. And it's ridiculous.
You said morgue earlier.
It was a morgue. It is. I'm looking for bodies. You know, there are things I look in there and I find, oh, good. I'll use this salmon. And it was from a fishing trip in 2012. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're going, oh, man.
Just a little freezer burn.
A little freezer. It's basically jerky at this point. So, but I have been going through things that are less than 3 years old.
Yeah.
And, I used some salmon that a friend brought back from Alaska, and I made a salmon salad, and that kept me going for a few meals. Mm-hmm. And then I found some pot stickers that weren't past due.
Oh, well, that's a bonus.
That's a bonus.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of going through my freezer trying to, because it's that time of year where, you know, you think you kind of want to sparingly save things and use them throughout, and then when it's fruit season, which is a lot of my stuff is fruit, I already have the stuff still in there. So I need to...
You need to use that
get
now.
Get rid of the cherries and the frozen blackberries.
Well, I know whom you can give some of those
Excellent.
Cherries. I do know that.
I'll make it happen.
Well, that's very interesting because I've been doing the same thing and I'm not sure that it... I don't know. Like you, I don't know if it's a... I don't want to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like when you look in your closet and you say, I have nothing to wear, and it's just crammed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I have nothing to wear. Well, you do too. And so the pantry is kind of the same thing for me. My pantry is fairly organized, and it looks really neat and tidy, and there's a lot of canned goods in there and a lot of spices and everything good. But I look in there, and I go, there's nothing in here. So I decided I'm really going to try to make something out of what I think is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other day, I didn't want to go to the store, and I didn't want to have a peanut butter sandwich or, you know, Cheerios. Mm-hmm. So I thought, look in the freezer. And I opened the freezer, and there was a beautiful bag of Australian shrimp.
Oh, man, that's a winner-winner chicken
Well,
dinner.
I had forgotten they were there. I just, you know, I'd used half the bag for something else, and so it was just the right amount for me to play with, and I looked around, and I thought, I have some asparagus, I have some fettuccine noodles, I have garlic, I have capers, I have lemon, white wine.
Wow.
So I did that, and I had a meal that was so delightful, I want to have it again, and it's sort of like the meal that I would have planned. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I would plan to cook that.
Did you say there was pasta involved in this?
Yeah, fettuccine.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was very good. And the lemon juice, fresh lemon juice, because I had fresh lemons, really sparks up pasta. I don't know if you've ever had lemon pasta, but it's quite delicious. And I have a confession, I've never had lemon pasta. I look at those lemon pasta recipes and I think,
Yeah.
But... now I'm a changed woman.
Oh, I noticed there was a there was a shiny glow about you.
It's the lemon juice. it's the lemon juice. So then from there it went to I had a little bit of hamburger like that wasn't all nasty crusty.
Thank
you know,
God.
It wasn't.
Uh-huh.
I inspected quite closely, and I ended up doing another pasta thing with that. And that was good.
No sloppy joes for you.
Mm-mm. No. And then on tonight's menu.
Joe's special is with old hamburger. Joe's special is good if you got spinach in your freezer. I usually have that around.
I have spinach.
Yeah. Okay. So you just take that face. She's made a face, people, like
spinach and hamburger.
Like she had stepped in something. Yeah. So have you ever had Joe's special?
No.
Oh my God, girl.
I don't know what that is.
It's a San Francisco. I think it's from Joe's restaurant in San Francisco, but, it's a famous late night dish.
Okay.
And it's really good. You saute a bunch of onions, mm-hmm. then you saute the hamburger, mm-hmm. and then you saute the spinach, all of this together in a pan, cast iron pan usually for me. And then you throw in a couple eggs and scramble that all together.
Okay.
And then I think, is there sour cream in it?
I think there can be.
Yeah, I think there's sour cream in it.
If you go to 13 Coins in Seattle.
That's the place.
Do they have it?
Oh, yeah.
I like 13 Coins. Yeah. Well, I'm a little hesitant because of hamburger and eggs.
Well, they come from two different animals.
Yeah, I know. No. I just don't. I've never had hamburger and eggs before.
It's girl.
You know, but I suppose at 2:30 in the morning after we've been out and about a bit.
I am looking forward to your apology. And you're saying like, oh my God, Tom, you were so right.
Well, maybe you should make it for me.
Okay, I will.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, but you got to be out drinking until midnight.
Oh, I can't do that anymore.
Well, and if you're in Missoula, Montana, you go to the Oxford and
I've been there several
times.
You
order brains and eggs.
I had that in college.
Yeah.
It was sort of like a dare, you know, everybody, you better go eat some brains.
And when you order them, they go, he needs them.
Yep, yeah. And then they make a big deal when they deliver it too.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ox. We called it the Ox. Yep. So that's interesting that we've both been doing pantry cooking.
Yeah. I think it's good. I think too, I don't know, maybe it's seasonal. Who knows? I don't know. Are we just,
well, and the, you know, farmer's market isn't, quite abundant yet in the fresh veggies. I mean, there's some, but, once that gets rolling, there's no,
you know, I would like to make a point about farmer's markets.
Yes.
To their benefit. You know, when I was working at the farmer's market, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't call it whining. No, I think I would call it whining. Well, is everything so expensive? You know, like, but yeah, just trust me, grow some carrots and let me know how you feel. It's hard to get perfect vegetables. Mm-hmm. And it takes, you know, it's a long process. So, but that said, the whining about how much things cost, farm stands are now cheaper than our grocery stores.
I know.
I went around and checked.
Yeah.
Or not checked, but I was around them and I went, oh, this is fine. Finally, no, but that excuse doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, that you have, that you can go to a farm stand and get a better value in fresh vegetables locally grown.
Right.
Than you can at a grocery store for the most part.
And they're usually organic.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
On Bashaw.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I was thinking the same thing because it's really, plus, you know, supporting the farmers. And I love those fresh veggies right out of the ground.
It really is important to support mm-hmm. them. I mean, mm-hmm. if you like Vashon for what it is, support the things that make it that way.
Right. And quit trying to change stuff.
Yeah. You go, Norma Ray.
You newbies.
Newbies. Hey, all are welcome.
I know they are. They are.
Oh, they're welcome.
I have some newbie friends.
But no Walmarts.
No, we can't have that. So let's see. We talked about our new equipment and our new Facebook page and pantry cooking. You know, finding recipes with what you have in the pantry can be kind of fun. And Truman, you were talking about Master Cook. Tell us about that.
Well, it's just a recipe program. Mm-hmm. Where you can, you know, you put all your recipes in there and it tells you, yeah, this will feed 47 people. And, you know, and you go, no, this won't feed 40. So it has mm-hmm. a few glitches mm-hmm. in it. But it's cool because you can put in, these are the things I've got in my pantry. And then it'll find.
What should I do with them?
Yeah, it'll find recipes for you.
Remember when Lynn Rosetta Casper did that show, that radio show, and she did that live on the radio? Mm-hmm. People would call in and say, I've got, and then they, of course, would try to puzzle her with really strange ingredients.
Isn't that kind of wasn't that the theme of Top Chef? They would give you so many ingredients mm-hmm. you had to do something with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, if there's anything that AI is made for, it's making
it's
dinner.
What a great idea.
Yeah, and just saying, I want a main course. This is what I have in my pantry.
Or if I want breakfast, I have this.
Yeah. And what can I make?
All I'm saying is that for listeners out there, there are ways to really cut back on your expenses and your mind,
yeah,
and your worry and, yeah, your fretting. Nobody wants to go to the grocery store anymore.
No, it's a great way to use what you got.
It is.
And then start over again.
And I'm determined now because my pantry's pretty full. Mm-hmm. And there's always the diced tomatoes and the tomato sauce and all that kind of stuff. That's always in there. But there's some other, I've got hearts of palm in there I looked at.
I was going to say, condiments are usually what are going to break my shelf sometimes. Like, how many condiments do I need?
I know. When one of my sons was a teenager, I've always had a lot of condiments. I'm a condiment queen. And he came home from school and he was hungry. He opened the refrigerator door, and apparently there was nothing in there, and he looked at me, he said, "Mom, these condiments are great, and if we had anything to put it on, it would be better."
Exactly.
You don't like mustard sandwiches? Yeah. Come on.
Okay, so speaking of sandwiches, I don't know if you watched Colbert the other day from his public television station called Monroe in Michigan.
Uh-uh.
It's quite wonderful. The day after he left CBS, uh-huh, he went on a public television station in Monroe, Michigan, and he had a show. And it was fabulous. It was really a poke in the eye for CBS. Uh-huh. And anyway, his guest was Jeff Daniels. And Jeff had been on his other show. And I don't know if you know that Colbert asked those questions like, what's your favorite sandwich, mm-hmm, and what do you do when you die? And he had a, yeah, list of questions he asked people.
Deep stuff.
Yeah, deep stuff to get to know you better. And so Jeff, and I saw this episode, said that his favorite sandwich, he said, "Well, you're not going to believe it, but my favorite sandwich is you take a tortilla and you put a quarter inch, only on half, you put a quarter inch of peanut butter on it, a quarter inch thick. And then you take sour cream cheddar potato chips, a handful out of the bag."
Oh, I did hear this.
And you squish them up and put that on there. And then barbecue sauce. And then you fold it up and eat it. And so they made that on this new show of Stephen Colbert's. And Stephen Colbert said, "Well, now I'm going to have these. This is so good."
I can't believe it is.
Do you think it is? Don't you want to try it?
No, not in the least.
Not even a little bit?
No.
All right, I'll try it and let you know.
I wouldn't even give that to my dog.
Oh, stop.
It'd make Gus sick.
And anyway, my point of that whole story is that was what he was doing, was that's what he had in his pantry. He was single. No, he wasn't single. He was in his 60s when he invented that.
Mm.
But there was nothing in his pantry. And so he said, "Well, I got this and I got that. I guess I'll make a sandwich."
That's where Caesar salad came from.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Caesar salad came from a famous chef. Had a bunch of people dropped in, mm-hmm, celebrity people and stuff. And he was in the end of the evening and he didn't have anything to give them. And so he said, "What have I got? Well, I've got some anchovies. I've got some of this. I got that." And he made a Caesar salad.
Wow.
That's how it happened.
I wonder where. Do you remember? Yeah. Wasn't it San
Somewhere
Francisco?
In LA.
No, it was Tijuana. Yeah. I swear to God, Tijuana. Yeah.
Oh, it could have been.
No, it totally was.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Yeah, I would bet my final Jeopardy question on that. Tijuana.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting.
Oh, here, I'll look it up and make sure.
Yeah, just do. Look
but
that
I do
up,
feel you? Confident.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that's, using your pantry staples, and I would never have potato chips like that. I can't have those in the house. I'll just sit there and eat a whole bag. But I do have barbecue sauce, and I do have peanut butter, and usually tortillas in the freezer, So today we just kind of thought we'd talk about our wonderful, did you find something, Tom?
Caesar salad originated in Tijuana, Mexico on July 4th. There's some irony.
Oh, you're kidding.
1924. It was invented by an Italian-American restaurateur, Caesar Cardini.
Well.
Who threw the dish together using leftover kitchen ingredients during a massive rush of American tourists crossing the border to escape prohibition.
Oh, they wanted to go to Mexico and have a drink. Yeah. Very interesting.
If only were motivated to vote like that.
Americans are still trying to escape. They're escaping all over the planet now.
Exactly.
So we're having some really beautiful weather this afternoon, and when it gets to be this time of year, I always want to be outside and eat. It's such a wonderful experience. And I thought maybe today we could talk about barbecue and picnics.
Yeah.
And there are so many beautiful places on this island to have picnics. One of my favorite is Jensen Point. For those of you who live here know that it's on the water.
Quartermaster Harbor.
Quartermaster Harbor.
It's where the crew practices.
Yes, you can watch them rowing, and people are swimming, and there's always boats out there.
Facing east.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I have no sense of
beautiful
direction
sun,
about
like
that.
Beautiful yeah. sunrise.
Yeah, yeah. And they have picnic tables, and they have little grills. But, you know, look, they're about the size of hibachi.
Yeah, and there's a bathroom up the hill.
Mm-hmm. And so you're set. They're mm-hmm. they're lovely picnic tables.
And ample parking.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So I'd love to go there. And I often go there for coffee in the morning, you know, just mm-hmm. get my thermos of coffee and go down there and sit. It's beautiful. And also,
and
what are you going to make fun of me? Stop it.
Okay, I'll quit. I won't do it.
All right, thank you.
I thought when I said the crew, that's where the crew sails. You're like, hey, sailor.
I'm down there just
want
watching.
Want a cup of coffee with mommy?
New in town?
Yeah, new in town. I like your oars.
Why don't you come up and see me sometime?
That's right.
Liza Beulah Beach is another. So tell us where that is, Tom.
Okay, Liza Beulah is on the west side. Mm-hmm. Remarkably, on this huge island of ours, we have very few places to go to see a sunset. And Liza Beulah is one of the
marvelous,
one of the best. Mm-hmm. Yeah, west side. I'd say center, kind of center
yeah.
south. Yeah,
and it has picnic tables.
Yeah.
I think they have grills, but I'm not sure about that.
I think they do, yeah.
I think they do. And then one of my favorite places to go, they don't have picnic tables. They had one, and they might have, maybe they do this year. I haven't been lately, but is Mukai Garden.
Mukai Farm. That's a beautiful spot, yeah.
It's so beautiful there, and there's plenty of room on the lawn to spread your blanket or bring mm-hmm. your little chairs or whatever, you know, and take your picnic there. It's really lovely, and it's so peaceful and green.
And I think it's a place people probably don't think about, you know, and the beautiful Mukai Gardens, you know, mm-hmm. all around the house.
And the koi pond.
And
it's a beautiful Japanese garden.
Do you know where I like this kind of, it's just a little postage stamp of a picnic table park is when you're going to Point Robinson and you're mm-hmm. at the peak of the hill. And you can take, right before you go straight ahead, to go down that road.
Yeah.
But at the very top of the hill,
yeah.
You can take a right. I think it's 59th Street. And that takes you to Marine View Park. And there's a platform on the top of that mm-hmm. bluff. Mm-hmm. And Mount Rainier, you could go out and touch its nose. It's
wow.
so close.
That's
one of the best views of Mount Rainier on the island. And there are picnic tables.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's not crowded at all.
It's too much work to get there for people probably, but I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Or you can go, you can keep going straight and go to Point Robinson's great place to have
a
picnic.
There's nothing wrong with Point Robinson.
Nope.
And if you're lucky, Captain Joe will be there and he can tell you That's all right. the stories about
you can
Point
go to
Robinson.
Go to the gift shop.
You can go to the gift shop.
Come back and see the troll.
Yeah. I read the other day that a troll somewhere, I forget where, burned.
Oh, yeah.
I forget where it was. Somebody set fire to it. It was arson. It just broke my heart. I can't remember. It was somewhere like Ohio or somewhere in the
It was some sort of troll-hating place.
Yes. And I'm sure it was Ohio. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
I thought
idea,
it was
really.
Kentucky.
I don't know.
But I'll check. Fact check.
So let's talk about picnics, Tom.
All right, sister.
If you were going to pack a picnic for a friend or two... What would you have in it?
Ooh, okay. So I kind of have two categories.
Mm-hmm.
When I want to have a picnic, but I'm just going to go grab mm-hmm. stuff from a
yeah.
grocery store.
Yeah.
So I'd probably go get, you know, like a roasted chicken or fried chicken, mm-hmm. Get a tub of potato salad, mm-hmm. You know, some good seltzer water or ginger ale mm-hmm. or something. And, usually like one of those bags of really good cookies.
Well, you got to have some dessert.
Have some of that.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to make a picnic, I like to make sandwiches because mm-hmm. it sort of covers a lot of bases And then you can have just like a couple bags of good chips, mm-hmm. for like a watermelon fruit, right. That kind of thing. Keep it kind of simple.
Yeah. What kind of sandwich would you make?
You know, my new favorite is focaccia. Like anything with focaccia. And making focaccia is one of the easiest breads you can make. You can buy it, of course, but when you make it, you can eat more.
Well,
it's so good.
And you can make it with love.
Make it with love. But no, it's easy to find. But focaccia, you can make like a giant sandwich and then cut it into, you know, many sections. But like I'll usually do kind of like my own little hero thing with roast beef, like a sharp cheddar. Maybe a little ham.
A little horseradish.
A little horseradish. Sometimes I'll wring out, I'll put lettuce, and sometimes I'll wring out coleslaw and get all the juices out. And put coleslaw on the top of it.
Yeah.
And that's good. And my homemade pickles, Tommy slicers.
Those are good.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about a picnic is it can be simple. It doesn't need to be this grand production of food, because the point is people, community, sharing a meal.
Yeah.
You know,
we used to do
that.
There were a couple of summers, two or three summers ago. For some reason, it just worked. We were doing it regularly and it wasn't like a hassle where somebody would call up this group, several friends, and we'd get texts. We'd say, okay, picnic at at Maury Marine Park. And the picnic table's there. And they say, okay, it's at 5:30. Doesn't matter what you bring, just bring something. Mm-hmm. And so it was just about 5 or 6, 7 people with some crazy combinations.
I'm sure.
But everything was great.
But how fun.
Yeah, but everything was great. Yeah.
Everything. Okay, I have two things.
Yes.
Salmon dip, where you make
cream cheese.
That's a great one.
Cream cheese and salmon and horseradish. Mm. And sometimes a little grated onion goes into it. Lemon juice. Mm. That's one. And the other is watermelon salsa.
Oh, jalapeno in there?
Yes.
Yes. Ooh, I bet that's good. I've not had that.
Oh, it is the best.
I've had a watermelon salad that had feta and mint in it.
Yeah.
I've had that too.
But this salsa, I mean, it's just like a salsa that you're going to have with the tacos.
Interesting.
Right? But it's
watermelon.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I've done it with pineapple. I've had pineapple salsa. Yeah, roasted pineapple. That's good. Maybe. Yeah. You don't look too convinced.
We're lucky with all the salmon we have here. So
aren't we?
Man, what a treasure.
I know. I like your idea of this sort of potluck, spontaneous, meet me at five and bring what's in your fridge.
Becomes kind of a fun game for people.
Sure.
And then what will happen is instead of bringing one thing, people bring like two or three things that are, again, totally incongruous to a theme.
Together.
Yeah. But it'll be really fun because you'll go like, oh, yeah, oh, you brought Lindt chocolates? Okay. You know?
And split pea
and
soup.
And smoked oysters. All right. Give me a smoked oyster. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just part of the whole
surprise of
having a picnic is you don't know what you're going to get. If I make sandwiches, I think, for picnic, I love egg salad.
I tend to
make egg salad sandwiches, but they can kind of be messy unless your egg salad's kind of dry, and I like mine kind of goopy. So it works, and it's easy. And I also love muffuletas, and I've made those. I don't make my own olive tapenade. I have, but you don't have to. There's commercial.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Or just hot dogs on those little grills, you know, a little.
Oh, that's a great cookout. Just go to the beach with your grill and your little propane portable grill and do hot dogs
or
on buns.
Or go to the place where there are those little grills.
Oh, yeah.
Bring your own charcoal. And.
So, Tom, don't you think that when she makes egg salad sandwiches, she cuts them into little triangles?
With no crust.
With no crust. Yeah. Don't you think she does that?
No, she doesn't.
What?
Nope, she doesn't do that. Actually, well, if you're having English tea, yes.
Yes, you have to cut them in little triangles.
They have to be in little triangles and no crust. And often they have different things, like layers. You have two or
three
layers.
Right, cucumbers and or cucumber sandwiches are good.
Well, what a great idea. We could do that for a picnic.
That
Wouldn't that be
a great
fun?
One is little, like fancy little sandwiches.
Fancy little sandwiches and little cups of tea.
That's right. I'll wear an ascot and I'll call you Lovey.
That would be wonderful. I would like that. Yeah. So I'm a total romantic about picnics. And mm-hmm. I think anybody who's bored with the regular routine of having dinner or eating lunch or whatever it is. I mean, I've even done breakfast picnics. You know, mm-hmm. you can make an egg sandwich early and just take it with you and have some fruit and some orange juice and watch the sunrise or mm-hmm. watch the birds come in. You know, it's just really, it's a wonderful thing to eat outside. And in the end, it doesn't really matter what you're eating. It
you know,
really doesn't.
It is. And the communal aspect of a picnic is as important as what you're serving. Mm-hmm. And even so, like if you, here's a tip for you kids. If you feel lonely and you need a friend, I'm ready to start singing a song.
I was gonna
just
say,
call
okay,
out my
James.
Name. No, but it happened once when I was coming back from a party and I baked a cake. And
if I'd have known you were coming.
I baked a cake. And I had it in my grandmother's, which is this fantastic aluminum pressed, what do you call them? A cake safe, cake tin.
Oh yeah,
cake, cake cover. Yeah, and so
with
I'm
that sliding top.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so there was a lot of. I made a huge cake, and there was a lot. About half of it was left, and mm-hmm. So I'm taking it home, and I'm going walking back on the ferry. I left the ferry without any cake because people go, oh, wow, what's in there? And, you know, in Vashon style, no yep. one's shy.
Right,
you know?
Right. And, I said, and if it's food.
I said some cake. And I go, you want some? They go, yeah. And then I open up the lid and then it was like, it was hysterical.
Like
and
a
so
bunch
much
of ants.
Fun. It was. And I think it's 10 or 12 pieces of slices of cake were
nice.
Gone in no time.
Nice. And but other people are still talking about that,
we
too.
Made, we had know? A good time. Yeah.
And whether they knew you or not. Remember when that guy brought that cake?
Uh-huh.
You know? Yeah, food is a draw, for sure.
It is.
And location in the summertime, I think, can be very flexible and interesting for you.
Yeah, it was. And one of my favorite things was the woman who asked me, she goes, is that gluten-free? I go, absolutely not. And then she goes, oh. And I said, but I don't think there's a lot of gluten in it. And so she had a piece. I said, this is not going to kill you, is it? She goes, no, it's best if I don't. I said, well, or it's best that you do. I don't know.
Well, then don't.
Yeah. No, I was
you were
out.
Nice.
I put my little devil horns on. I was like, we're going to get her to eat this thing.
Yeah, yeah. So let's kick it up a notch.
Okay.
And talk about barbecue.
All right.
Because for me, I used to be known as Queen of the Grill back in the day when I did a lot of cooking.
That wasn't about what's on your teeth, was it?
No, it was my car.
Oh, okay.
because I love barbecue of anything that you
want to
put on
the grill. What's your dealio? What's your big thing?
Ribs.
Oh,
and also
excellent.
a lamb hoisin sort of Asian.
Wow.
Big piece of lamb.
Like a lamb leg?
Yeah, big leg, but deboned.
Wow.
And it is fabulous. I didn't even really think about that.
That is new to
this.
Me.
Is it?
Yeah, for grilling, yeah.
It's really delicious. It takes a while, mm-hmm. and you know, you don't want to cook it too much.
Things that worth it do.
Oh, man, it's good. I might have to do that. I haven't thought about that in a while.
Could I tell my barbecue story?
Well, yes, of course.
So my friend from Spain, he's an exchange student living with my family.
Mm-hmm.
When he first arrived, we had to go down to Georgia. My brother was having surgery, and so we had to go. So mm-hmm. we drove. So we got outside of Shreveport, Louisiana, and we see mm-hmm. this little barbecue place along the side mm-hmm. of the road. So we wheeled in there, and they have saddles for the chairs, you know. And so we sit down. For the bar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so we sit down and they have barbecued ribs. Mm-hmm. So my father ordered barbecue. Charlie, Juan Carlos, had never had barbecue.
Oh.
And so, and he's from kind of a wealthy family, was mm-hmm. kind of, you know, mm-hmm. to do. And so dad ordered these barbecued ribs, beef ribs, the big guys.
Oh, the big ones.
And he got some for Charlie and he had some for him. And he was going to have his little knife and fork, and Dad said, "Nah, you pick it up."
This is how you do it.
So he thought that was pretty cool to start.
Mm-hmm.
the two of them had barbecue sauce from ear to ear. I mean, literally from ear to ear and dripping down their arms. Oh. And Charlie was in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
He had never had barbecue, he said. Years later, I was visiting him in Barcelona. And a friend of mine said, Charlie, what food did you like best in America?
Wow.
He immediately said, barbecue. So there you go.
You know, I could maybe say that too.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, fish, shrimp, vegetables, fruit, anything on the grill. Yeah. Anything on the grill. You know, we didn't invent barbecue in America.
What?
We didn't. It's not really an American thing. It comes, well, from everywhere, really, but the African continent has lots of grilling and barbecue, and then, of course...
And, like, the indigenous people of the Caribbean were part of it, weren't
exactly,
they?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the word barbecue comes from barbacoa, which is Spanish, and so... You know, Mexican, Spanish, all of that, and they all use different kinds of sauces and different methods. And you can get lost in the history of it and how the recipes developed and how many different ways there are to grill a piece of meat. And as far as it's getting to America, mostly it was the enslaved Africans.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught us how to barbecue. And so when you think about it, in the South, that's kind of where it started. And it's still big in the South. It's like a major way of eating in the South. And then the word pitmaster comes from black barbecue chefs who called themselves the pitmasters.
Huh?
And then let's see what else... It was really a community event to begin with, which is what we've been talking about here.
That would be a really, if you were looking for things to do, that would be a really fun, I think, time is to go to the mini competitions around. Like there's a huge one in Kansas City. There's one in New Orleans, I believe. There's, these barbecue cook-offs.
Yeah, I know.
And
you know, when I lived in Portland, I was on the board of directors of... an organization called Bones and Brew. And we had once a year a giant barbecue competition that was in one of the parks, one of the big parks in Portland. And we worked in conjunction with some of the craft brewers. So we had Bones and Brew. And the contestants were people that went to Kansas City. They like travel all over the country and compete. And so... That was a great learning experience for me with regard to barbecue and the different kinds of sauces. And you know, mostly men grilling, mostly men. And they also are very secretive about their sauces. And of course,
totally
like the Italian grandma and her Sunday gravy. She's not going to share that recipe, but she'll give you just enough to let you know that you can kind of make it, but it'll never be as good as hers. And that's kind of how they were. But
when I lived in Seattle, one of my best friends, Mr. John Snyder, no longer with us, unfortunately, but he was the ringmaster, sort of the pit master of this group. And he was always in search of the perfect barbecue. And he was a really good barbecuer. And so he wanted to have a competition. And so I got to be a judge, which was
awesome. How fun.
It was really great.
How
and
fun.
So they lived in one of the only little courts in around Green Lake, this little, this really pretty little idyllic neighborhood. And so we got permission to close off the court. And then we had all the grills set up for all the neighbors. And it was like, I swear, like two blocks over on each side. And I should just cut to the chase. After I couldn't believe I'd eaten as much as I had. But the winner, much to John's chagrin, and dismay and anger, was that one of his good friends was a Frenchman, but he also liked to give the guy a hard time about being French, and the Frenchman would give him a hard time about being an American.
Mm-hmm.
So the Frenchman won the competition, and John was all ready. He goes, "I think we're gonna have to disqualify it. I think it's only you can only win if you're an American."
Oh, sour grapes,
sour grapes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, you know, once barbecue got to America and people started thinking about it, it began to develop its own regionality. You know, if you have in the Carolinas, they are known for whole hogs. I mean, they like the slow-smoked whole hogs. And they, the Carolina barbecue sauce is a vinegar-based sauce.
Isn't one of them a white sauce, too?
That's Alabama.
Okay.
They have Alabama white sauce, and that's... I don't think I've ever had it. Have you had it?
What's it made of?
I have. I know, but I don't have it right here.
I saw it on America's Test Kitchen, and it's a mayonnaise base.
It's a mayonnaise base with vinegar, and I don't know what else is in it, but it's very thin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thin sauce. It's not. You don't slap it on. So anyway, I want to talk about the regions, and Texas, of course, is beef forward. Barbecue. They like steaks and ribs, and beef ribs.
Hot dang, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And not a lot of sauce. They're more influenced by the Mexican tradition of cumin and more of a spice
and
rub.
And barbecue really isn't sauce. I mean, you have barbecue sauce.
Right.
But for the most part, I think if something's barbecued, it's really more about the cooking process than the slathering of sauce on it.
Well, the sauce doesn't ordinarily go on until the last minute,
right?
Because it'll burn.
Yeah.
If you put it on too soon, which I know from experience.
Absolutely.
I have burned many ribs. Mm. And then you have the famous Kansas City, and that's a really sweet kind of tomato-based sauce.
Yeah,
which
I like that one.
Love.
A lot.
I love that.
I spent a whole week there eating every meal.
Oh man, you just—it's everywhere down there. Yeah.
It is.
And then
so
Memphis.
Good.
Memphis barbecue. Memphis is famous too, but there's our dry rubs, and they just have and their pulled pork sandwiches, which have become really fabulously. What am I looking for? Popular.
Mm.
Now it's like everywhere you go, somebody's got a pulled pork sandwich. And in the beginning in America, there weren't barbecue restaurants. It was like you were talking, Truman. It's the little roadside guy in a trailer or a little camper, and he's barbecuing, and you stop and you eat. And then you also have Japanese barbecue, which is quite different. Do you know when you go to an Asian restaurant and you have those little, you have ribs and they're just very thin bones? It's not like the whole big long bone. It's cut the other way.
Mm-hmm.
That's called flanken cutting. And that's cut with, you have to do it with a bandsaw and that kind of thing. I talked with Lauren at Ruby Brink and asked her if they had flanken cut ribs. And she said, no, but they can get them. And they know a person on the island where you can get the meat and then you can order it flanken cut, which I think would be worth it because...
They must cut it when it's frozen or something.
I don't know. I have no idea
what
they do.
That or they use one of these, the chop blades, what do you call them?
No, she said it's a bandsaw.
Oh.
That they use.
When I was in Vietnam, they chopped it with the big cleaver.
Yeah.
That's
cleaver.
What I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And if you have chicken there, they don't cut the chicken in pieces like we
right.
They just chop
Chinese
it up.
Do that too.
Yeah.
They, whack,
yeah.
Whack. But it would have to be a bandsaw because these bones are not even an inch thick. Oh. They're just very, very thin, and it's a thin slice of meat. It's the rib meat. So what they do is they have a sauce that is soy sauce and mirin and brown sugar, sesame oil, cloves, some ginger. They even sometimes put pears in it, they grate a pear.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, sesame seeds. And then if you want some heat, you put some gochujang in it and, barbecue. And it takes just a minute. They're very thin, and so you just put them on the grill for a minute, and away you go. But, you know, people should try these different kinds of barbecue, I think, because we get really accustomed to throwing a burger on the grill or, you know, something like that. But, Tom, you like to grill a salmon, is that right?
Yeah, probably my favorite things to grill. I do ribs, too, but that was when I had this really good... Bronfels.
New Bronfels
smoker, and it finally rusted out. But it was great because I have wood all over my property, so I would just use that. But I have a smaller grill now, and I do salmon's about the easiest thing you can grill because there's not much to it. You really just sort of pat it off dry. Then I'll coat it with an oil and salt and pepper. Sometimes I'll do the lightest dusting of Old Bay seasoning on it, and then I don't flip mine. I just put it skin side down and cook it till an internal temperature of one, you know, that a lot of times they say so many minutes per inch, but I find salmon something I like to I have an automatic thermometer, and so I'll poke it, and when it's like 125, which is still a little undercooked.
Yeah, but so good.
Yeah, but what I'll do is I'll shut it off. I'll take it off between 125 and 130 and let it rest for 5 minutes, which brings it up to temperature of about 140, which means it's thoroughly cooked, but it's really moist. It's not that dry cat food stuff that you that some people do.
Which we don't care for.
Some people really like their fish
overcooked. They like their fish really done. Well, you know, I like to grill salmon too. And have you ever had gravlax grilled, like a whole salmon?
No, you were telling me about this, and I was eager to hear about it because it's something that sounds like I'd really like it.
I think you would really like it. And what you do, or what I do, is you get a whole salmon, and you know its belly's cut open, and in there you put salt and sugar and dill and lemon sauces, or lemon slices. And wrap it really, really tightly in aluminum foil and put some weight on it, like cast iron skillet or whatever, and leave it in the fridge for 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
And just let it sit in there.
I'm sorry, did you say that there's salt in this too?
Yes.
Did you say, okay.
Salt and sugar and dill.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I didn't say
salt. So there's like a curing rub.
You cure it, yeah.
Okay.
And you're not putting it on the outside of the fish. It's all goes on the inside. And then, you know, you put it in the fridge and let it sit for 24 hours. It can sit there for a couple days too.
Sure.
You know, I learned this from a Danish woman in Minneapolis who sent me a videotape of how she did it. And it was so much fun to listen to. I met her when I was in Minneapolis and she didn't have time to make one for me. So she said, I'll just do a little video. And send it.
So after the 24 hours, what happens?
Okay. So then you take it out of the bag, if you can imagine.
Yeah.
And then, or the, out of the foil.
Sure.
Some people put it in a bag. Like, you know, a big Ziploc bag. But I don't know how you do that because I don't have a Ziploc bag big enough for a whole salmon. And then you roll it again, just the outside in dill and black pepper. And then you put it on the grill.
Oh.
And you just grill it. You have to watch it, you know, like you do your salmon. You just watch it. You just put it on the grill and grill it. It's so good. It's a Swedish thing.
That
you know,
sounds great.
But it's really, really good, and it's healthy. And
well, I would think those ingredients would keep it moist inside.
It is moist. Yeah. It's really good. It's trust me, it's really good.
Yeah, and probably have a cured texture. It's nice, like ham cured kind of thing.
Kind of. Well, if you think of gravlax on your bagel,
yeah,
it's like that. You just don't want to cook it too much.
No.
You know. But what I wanted to share with you is my method for doing ribs.
Oh, we're all ears.
If and maybe I'll make them for you someday.
Okay.
It's called the 3-2-1 method. Okay? So it's easy to remember.
I'm writing this down, 3-2-1.
So it's 3 hours of cooking very, very low, like 225. Unwrapped. You don't wrap them at all. And so you just put them on a very low heat.
Like 225?
225,
okay.
250 max.
250, okay.
That's kind of hot, I think. But then, so that's the three hours.
Okay.
And then for 2 hours, you wrap it really tightly in foil with a little butter and brown sugar and, I don't know, some cider or some apple juice, you know. Wrap it really tight. And then that's your 2 hours. So then.
Same temperature?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then for an hour, same temperature, you just grill it open. You take it out, you unwrap it and just grill it. But preparing for the grill, you need to remove that membrane on the outside of the bone.
Oh yeah, you got
because
pull,
if you don't,
pliers,
your seasonings don't get in there.
Yeah,
you know. And the other thing is with that hour, that's when if you're going to use a sauce, you would put the sauce on. Probably not for an hour, but you can put the sauce on, or you can just add the spices. You know, sometimes I've just done garlic salt and cumin and maybe some paprika and pat it in there really well.
Yeah, that's a great thing. And my friend Carol Merriam, she I was over at her place. I said, God, these are such good ribs. She goes, oh, it's just salt and garlic powder.
Yeah,
and it was
I know,
crazy
and it's really
good.
Yeah, you know, it's a different. It's different. It's not your Kansas City barbecue.
No,
sauce.
It's a different thing.
But then, if you want to do beef ribs, they're a whole different deal. That's a which I like them, but
yeah.
I really love pork ribs. But you do the membrane thing just the same, and you cook these at a little bit higher temperature. These are more like 275, and for 3 to 4 hours. The beef ribs, because they're big and there's a lot of meat on there and they're chunky. And then, you know, if you're doing short ribs, those can take 6 to 8 hours, really, at that temperature. And you can wrap them. Don't use foil. Wrap them in butcher paper, I think, because the butcher paper won't burn at that temperature. And then, you know, unwrap them again and leave them on the grill for about an hour and sauce them up, whatever kind of sauce you want to use. Like, you know, the Texas people have little or no sauce on theirs.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of a saucy girl. I like sauce.
No sauce is good.
Yeah, I do. I kind of like the sauce. So, but the thing with beef ribs is that they're more forgiving than a pork rib because there's more fat, so they stay moister.
A beef?
Mm-hmm.
There's there's more fat in a pork.
No, if you look at just compare the two pieces of meat, there's way more fat in the beef ribs.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So,
do you know before we go, because I know we're winding up.
Are we?
I was gonna. Can I throw out because we've talked about salmon, we've talked about ribs, and then chicken. And
yes.
So this is one of my neighbors when I used to live in the International District, and we had like a little outdoor patio. At our building, and the gentleman next door to me was quite the grill master, and his secret for he made the best grilled chicken. Wasn't dry, wasn't stringy, wasn't burnt, and it was boiling the chicken ahead of time.
Oh,
so you cut up the pieces of the chicken. You can also brine it. You don't have to brine it, but if you want to brine it, you can ahead just in you know salt water,
salt
herbs, all
whatever
flavorings that you do for brining. And then when you're done with that, you pop them in boiling water for about 10 to 15 minutes. I think internal temperature, like 120 to 130. And it plumps them up, gets water in them.
So they're really cooked in there.
They're pretty much
cooked. And then they're grilled.
Exactly.
That's fabulous.
And then what happens is the grilling adds the flavor to it.
Wow, that's excellent.
But it's if I ever do chicken, and you don't get burned chicken.
You
have plump, juicy
barbecue chicken,
baby.
I have a friend who boils ribs before she barbecues them. And she boils them in beer.
That's kind of a good. That's a good technique.
They're really good
for not worrying about undercooking something or overcooking.
Well, and then you don't have 6 hours on the grill.
Exactly.
Either. You know. And so there are shortcut methods, but I'm kind of a stickler for my ribs, and they need to do the real deal.
Do you know what we have to say for next time?
What
is our barbecued salads?
Barbecued salads and we'd call it grilled salads and grilled fruits.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of, I'll just say really quickly, grilled peaches, you just cut your peaches in half, put them on the grill upside down.
Yep.
And that's when you're at the end of your barbecue, your grill's cooling off, you just put it on there and then serve it with some mascarpone or some ice cream,
vanilla ice cream with
and
caramel
you have
sauce,
a beautiful
baby.
Beautiful dessert. Child. So
shortbread.
I just would like to encourage everybody out there to get your grill going, you know, and you don't need to clean it off with those bristle brushes that get in people's food.
No.
You just need to rub it with some tin foil, aluminum foil,
or a wrapped paper towel with oil on it and a pair of tongs and go back and forth and back and forth.
Yep. And, you know, all that gunk that's on there, that'll come off. But the seasoning, there's seasoning in the grill.
They're like a flavor saver.
They are flavor saver. Yes. So I encourage you, call your friends and neighbors and have a potluck.
And go to a public grill if you don't have a grill.
Yeah. And let us know if you do, because we'd love to hear about it. And, you know, in a couple days, you'll have a new Facebook page where you can make some comments. So thank you, Truman, for being here and keeping us on the air. I appreciate it. And as usual, Tom, it's always lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you, Miss Nygaard.
And thank you for all your information.
And thank you for yours.
Yeah.
I'm blowing you kisses from across the table.
Thank you. And thank you, listeners. You mean a lot to us. Okay. Bye-bye.